Neuroscientists have learned a lot in recent decades about how the brain forms memories, stores memories. We don't talk as much about the fact that the brain does a lot of like active forgetting as well in order to leave space for memory. You write about Francis Crick and Graham Mitchison believing that one of the chief functions of dreaming was to sort through memories and decide which ones could be discarded.
There is now some work in this line. You know, the problem is our days are so full of particular experience. I mean, I'm looking right now at the piece of glass between me and the control booth and a kind of brown microphone cover and a red frame around a window. And all this stuff is going in as sensory input, and it's endless. So first of all, you don't notice much of it. Though, in fact, I think part of the human mind is noticing more than you think it is. So the Crick's idea is that at night there's a sort of there's discarding of what just might as well. It's the trash of the day, and maybe saving a few things that, no, this looks useful. I'll put this into longer term memory.
So many of us have anxiety surrounding the idea of forgetting anything. It's not just a fear of something like dementia or something pathological. I wonder why you think we are afraid to forget things.
Well, first of all, you might as well just give it up. Stop being afraid. I mean, you know, there's a connection between identity and memory. We partly know who we are by our experiences and what we remember. And part of our attachment to memory is our attachment to identity. And we value a sense of self, of knowing who we are. But once you get interested in this idea of forgetfulness as a positive, you're also beginning to enter into old traditions in which it's of interest to forget the self. You know, there's an old Buddhist aphorism that in meditation practice, what you're doing is you study the self to forget the self. And if you could forget the self, then the world gets much more interesting. So to the degree that we're attached to the ego and attached to self, there is a kind of anxiety to letting go of memories because they are partly what makes the self. You know, the more general way of putting this is these are people interested in trying to get out of their own habits of mind. So our habits of mind are very useful. They keep us on an even keel. They help us navigate the world, but they also tend to filter the world. Thinning out your habits of mind is a useful first step if you can figure out how to do it.
Does that get harder as we age, getting rid of our habits of mind?
Well, probably, because if you're very young, you haven't acquired them yet. And you know, there's an old image of habit as something that you really have to have. I think it's William James says, by the time somebody's 30 years old, their habits have congealed like concrete, and they allow you to be a good citizen. You know what to do. Habit is a good thing. So, yeah, though I suppose, you know, there are people who realize that there's an inhibition connected to habits of mind as well. And so you can constantly look for ways to become aware of your own habits of mind, at least, so as to occasionally lay them aside.